Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Brad Hayes, I think there's a lot of confusion as to what's happening in Congress right now with immigration. It looked for a little while that the Senate had worked out a deal and that the House might go along with it, but it doesn't look so healthy anymore.
It doesn't, and I'm also confused, so we can all be confused together. I mean, this is kind of what we've seen, that the Senate has been able to reach bipartisan agreement much more readily than the House has. And so we've seen the Senate pass a bill, and that bill does a little bit of everything. Things that the left likes, like create a pathway to citizenship for those already in the country but are still undocumented. But it also does things that the right likes, like creates a fine, a penalty for this, and an extended kind of application process.
And is shoring up of the borders again, even if we don't need it.
Yeah, absolutely. It doubles, I think, the size of border security. So they were able to kind of create a bill that everyone is at least somewhat comfortable with. But in the House, that has really gone nowhere. There's a group of seven, a bipartisan working group that was supposed to be getting some type of compromise bill in place, but they have not produced anything as of yet. And so the question is whether, in fact, there's really much that can be done here. And the difficulty, of course, is, again, in the Republican majority, there seems to be a real split in among Republican elites on immigration. For those elites that can concern themselves with like kind of the long-term health and viability of the party, they are very much in favor of immigration reform. There was a letter sent out by kind of key donors, 100 prominent donors in July, and this letter, including people like Karl Rove, and this letter basically said, we need to do this. This is important for the country. It's important for the party. However, we haven't really seen much movement among many different kinds of office holders in the Republican Party, particularly in the House, right? When we get down into the legislative districts, it's a very different
story. They don't want to face primaries, right?
And they are concerned with re-election, right? Yeah. It's that electoral connection, as political scientists like to call it. And, many of these individuals have said that they do not believe in a pathway to citizenship, right? That is rewarding bad behavior and that they will not support that. They're willing to get on board with border security, but not with this pathway to citizenship. As you rightly point out, that there is a strong element in the Republican Party that is pushing that as an issue, and right, and you might then face a primary challenge if, in fact, you were willing to support this.
You will get a primary challenge. There's always people who will come out and say, we don't want foreigners coming into our country. And the question is, in a primary where 5%, 10% turnout, 15% turnout, you're always going to get the zealots voting.
Right. So the incentives here are all over the place, right? Incentives for the party to get on board, to become a party that appears to be more sympathetic towards immigrants and immigration, right? Versus individual office holders who are very much concerned with the politics in their legislative district and re-election.
Brad Hayes, I wanted to talk to you about Mitch McConnell. You mentioned him last time we spoke, but here's a guy who many Democrats in this country truly hate. They do. They said, the only thing that my job is to get rid of the president, and they'll never forget it, and they'll never forgive him for it. And yet, now it turns out he's a liberal.
Or not a true conservative, right? I mean, one of those.
I'm just
kind
kidding.
No, I know, absolutely. But you see this kind of rhetoric. Who's more conservative, right?
Sure.
This is kind of the conditions that we face in contemporary politics, where somebody who's in a leadership position usually has to compromise some, right? They have to, in fact, create some degree of agreement on important issues of the day. And we've seen this with Speaker Boehner, too. I mean, he's gotten into trouble with his caucus because he's tried to create some compromises with the president on things like debt and deficit. But McConnell is in that same boat where
could he really lose?
He could lose. I mean, there are some interesting numbers on him. I do not believe he'll lose in the primary, although he's underwater in terms of his approval rating, right?
So he's less than 50%.
Yeah, he's about a 40% approval rating in Kentucky, according to current polls, which, you know, makes him susceptible to challenge. And it's possible then that you could get a successful primary challenge. I think he will stave that off. That's me reading the tea leaves.
In a state like Kentucky, can a Democrat win that seat?
That's a really interesting one. So Allison Lundergan Grimes, I think I'm saying that name right, is going to face him in the general. And she's a fairly popular Democrat. And she actually, in polls right now, is leading him. Now, we're a long way from the election.
Sure.
So, you know, you're going to see some swings there. And in-state polling this far away from an election has proven to be somewhat unreliable. But you can kind of see in some ways how careful someone like Mitch McConnell has to be in terms of the way that they legislate over the next, year plus because of this threat to holding his seat. He's a wily politician, so, you know, it's very difficult to knock those individuals off. But, you know, both the far right and the left smell blood in the water and the sharks are all around them.
Yeah. So you can expect that as a result, the outcome is going to be that we will hear more conservative rhetoric from McConnell and his friends.
I certainly expect to see that.
In the same place is Rand Paul, who has, I believe, endorsed McConnell.
Yes. Yes.
Here is the guy who is regarded as the, you know, the Tea Party guy saying, this is my man. Does that help? Is that transferable?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, he's, you know, Rand Paul is a really, notable person in the Tea Party movement. He's going to be that standard bearer going forward, particularly in kind of presidential elections. I assume that he'll, put his toe in the presidential waters in 2016. It does help and it does carry some weight. How much weight, though, depends upon the organization within the states, right? It may well be that, you know, there are some splits, some fractures that, you know, outsiders aren't fully aware of. But I do think that lends a certain amount of kind of credence to Mitch McConnell's bona fides as a conservative and as somebody that's, you know, a particular type of conservative, one that's willing to engage in fiscal battles and the like.
Well, it's always great to hear from our friend Bradley Hayes, who is assistant professor, soon to be associate professor at Union College and a very bright star in our academic celestial heavens. Thanks so much for being here.
It's always great to be on.